أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله تعالى. نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له. ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. واشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. واشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. وقال سيدنا مصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن أصدق حديث كتاب الله وخير هدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن شر أمور محدثاتها وكل محدثات بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، فيقول الله تبارك وتعالى: يسألونك عن الخمر والميسر قل فيهما إثم كبير ومنافع للناس وإثمهما أكبر من نفعهما. Our brothers and sisters in Islam, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah for guidance, for forgiveness. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes things clear, we don't always follow it every time. That's part of the human condition. Allah clarifies things all the time in the kitab. Sometimes things aren't clear to people. Sometimes it's not clear because they don't know the text. They don't know that this is, in the religion of Islam, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I don't know it, therefore they're in ignorance. Sometimes you get the information, but because we're human, everybody doesn't follow everything right away. Or you get the information, but you don't really see the hikmah in it. Especially when people do a lot of thinking. You know, a lot of thinking, questions. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا نَحَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَاجْتَنِبُوا وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا سَطَعَتُمْ فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ كَثْرَةُ مَسَائِلِهِمْ وَاخْتِلَافُهُمْ مَعَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ. He says, the things that I have prohibited upon you, stay away from it. And the things that I have commanded you to do, do of it what you are able, because verily those people that came before you were destroyed, means spiritually destroyed, because كَثْرَةُ مَسَائِلِهِمْ, they asked too many questions after the text came. Meaning that the prophet would say, or a prophet would say, do this and so and so. Well, it's pretty clear what he's saying, but you want to keep on asking, like to ask your way out of it. You want to find some sort of subterfuge to find a reason. It's always better to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without too much questioning. If you want a question about the how-to of it, that's a question about fiqh. Those are good questions. Makes a lot, how-to, how do I do that? Make wudu, how do I do that? Pay zakat, how do I do that? Hajj, how do I do that? How do I do it? I'm accepting the command to do it. I have no problems here. How do I do it? But some types of questions the Prophet used to dislike them. They asked the Prophet ﷺ when the verse came down, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حُجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. When that verse came down, and the verse says, Allah has over the people as an obligation that they make pilgrimage to the house, meaning to the Kaaba in Mecca, whomever is able to make the journey. That was the verse saying that this is the right of Allah over the people, that they make pilgrimage to the house, whoever is able to make the journey. So a man said, Ya Rasulullah, akulla'am? So, Ya Rasulullah, every year? And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam didn't answer him. Which is a delil that you don't have to answer every question. That's another issue altogether. People think every question got to be answered. No, that's not true. Then the man said again, O Messenger of Allah, every year? And the Prophet didn't answer. Then he asked him a third time, O Messenger of Allah, every year? And the Prophet, he answered him. He said, if I were to say every year, you wouldn't be able to do it every year. Leave me alone in the things that I leave alone. For verily those that came before you were destroyed because of the frequentness of their questioning and their differences with their scholars. Differences with their prophets. Now, sometimes a verse is in the Quran. It says so-and-so. But people question the wisdom. They don't see it. A sister asked me recently, Imam, how come Muslim men can marry a non-Muslim woman who's Jew or Christian, people of the book Ahlul Kitab, but a Muslim woman can't marry none other than a Muslim man? I know the verse, but I'm not feeling the verse because I don't see the wisdom in that. What's the difference? What difference does it make? Well, she's never experienced being a Muslim woman trying to practice Islam, and the person you're married to don't even believe in what you believe in. You know? So sometimes we get the verse, we're ready to follow it, we see the wisdom, but we're still resisting. That happens. It happens to many people. Nobody's exempt from that. But some things require a second, third, fourth, a consistent look at it because of the damage that it does over the long period of time, the short and the long. One of those things, brothers and sisters, I'm going to talk about this today, inshallah ta'ala, after I remind you and myself to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, O you who believe, ittaqullaha haqqa taqatihi wa la tumutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah to the degree that's warranted, and don't die unless you die in a state of submission. And one of these things that we must address, brothers, we must address, sisters, in our community, is the issue of intoxicants. The issue of wine, alcohol, weed, cocaine, meth, prescription drugs. This is very, very dangerous territory. This area gives shaitan much leeway in your life. Now, we know the verse. Verse in Quran. And even with the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, intoxicants weren't prohibited in one fell swoop. It didn't happen right away. They asked the Prophet about wines. Not just wine, but they asked him about intoxicants. And gambling. And Allah revealed the verse, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا. He said, they ask you concerning intoxicants and gambling. Because they used to like to drink. And he said, tell them, this is what Allah said to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, tell them in both of them is major sin, big sin, and some benefit to people. But the sin in those two things is bigger, will outweigh any benefit in those two things. That was the first time. That's the first verse that came down about intoxicants being prohibited. But it wasn't prohibited yet. They continued to drink. Muslim, you can still, it was like halal, it was permissible. Not halal, but it was permissible. It wasn't prohibited yet to drink. And so some of the companions would be drinking and then go to Salat and say, they would, you know, to lakhbat, mix up what they're going to say in this Salat, not understanding what they're saying. And Allah revealed the verse. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la taqrabu salatakum wa antum sakara hatta ta'lamu ma taqulun. He says, oh, you who believe, don't approach your prayer while you're intoxicated until you know what you're saying. All right? But finally, after a while, and this is why, you know, when person become Muslim or people who are Muslim, one of the first things I say to them, brother, if you got intoxicants in your life, you have to deal with it. I tell them a couple of things you got to deal with. If you got a girlfriend or boyfriend, sister, you got a boyfriend? Because people come into Islam, they got boyfriends, they got girlfriends. You know, Allah, the Shahada wipes away all the previous sins. So people come into Islam, they got sin. But I always tell them, if you got a boyfriend, sister, or if you got a girlfriend, brother, you're going to have to deal with that immediately. Because that is a type of sin that it will erode the quality of your Islam immediately. It's like trying to be Muslim and you're going into a brick wall again. Boom, 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 boom. Well, how come it ain't working? Boom, boom, boom. I'm trying, poof, I don't understand. Boom, boom, boom. It's like banging your head against the wall. And I tell them the same thing if you have intoxicants, you're like, brother, you smoke weed? But you do cocaine? You drinking? Because that's what people do. You know? Deal with that right away. Because if you don't, it will affect the quality of your Islam. And it does. Which is why we have to address it. So finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, innama al-khamru wal-maisiru wal-ansabu wal-azlamu rijsun min 'amali ash-shaytan fajtanibuhu la'allakum tuflihun. He says, O you who believe, verily intoxicants and gambling and setting up stones for ushers to worship other than Allah, and using arrow divination to try to tell your future, to think that the arrow's pointing going to tell you some information. This is one of the practices of jahiliyyah, of ignorance. He says, all these things are rijsun. These are impurities. Min amal shaytan. They are impurities from the actions of the devil. Fajtanibuhu. La'allakum tuflihu. Stay away from them so that you will obtain success. Then he says something else, which I think is very important for us to note. He says, Innama yuridu shaytan liyuk'a baynakum al-adawata wal-baghda'a fil-khamri wal-maysir وَيَصُدُّكُمْ. Let me read it because I forgot. And I know the shaykh to be reminding me. This tells you I'm getting old. Because usually I don't see me reading too many things from the paper. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْ يُوقَعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْبَيْسِرِ وَيَصُدُّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. He says, because the shaitan is only wants to use the intoxicants, the weed, the cocaine, the meth, the prescription drugs. He only wants to use these things to sow hatred and discord amongst you and to push you away, to block you from the remembrance of Allah and from the Salat. So now Allah is breaking it out. He said, listen, the devil wants to use these things so that you will be fighting one another. Now, how many couples in our community, I can't tell you how many situations where they're fighting, arguing, and there's some kind of intoxicant involved somewhere. Somewhere, somebody's using, and it's discord. I hate you. I hate him. Next you. And it's the Shaitan using that. You're giving him the tools. Right? And but go, what goes with that is that he takes you away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the salat and from prayer. So then he says, Wahal antum muntahun. So are you done? So some of the Sahaba said, Intahina ya Rab. We're done, ya Rab. We had enough. And they said that they started pouring out their wine, and you saw wine flowing down the streets of Medina because everybody was getting rid of their stuff that they had. Now, brothers and sisters, this is an issue that we have to address in our community. The issue of intoxicants. Just so you know, brothers, weed is haram. It's intoxicant. It damages your thinking. It takes you away from your prayer. It takes you away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It lets Shaitan have access to your being. This is why people who use drugs, their attitude changes. You talking one day, sound like next day. What happened? Don't get one where they're stressing over because they need it. That's a whole different animal. And this is prevalent in our community, in the Muslim community, all around the country. Drug abuse, alcoholism, prescription drugs. Now that they've made marijuana legal, some of us got their marijuana cards. I mean, excuse my marijuana cards. No. You know. But what I'm saying is that if this is something you're affected with, get help. If you don't know how to get help, there's people in our community that can help you get help without disclosing your identity. Contact me. There's a couple other brothers. One brother has a lot of experience in this particular area. Get help because it will damage your faith in ways that you just can't imagine. And if you have kids, children, you really gotta get a grip. Because the window of opportunity for raising your children is small. I can't tell you how many brothers that I know. How many of them in their 30s, 40s, even 50s, who spent that time, that valuable time when you're supposed to be raising your kids, dipping and diving. Okay, listen, nobody's perfect. We all have some sin. The Prophet said, Kul ibn Adam khata wa khayr khata'in at-tawwabun. So he says, all the human beings have sin, but the best of those who sin are those who repent. So we're not trying to single out that particular thing because it affects all of us. But I can't tell you how many brothers lament over the fact that the time, that, you know, important time when you should have been raising your kids, you were in the crack house or you were running the streets, selling weed, smoking weed, the whole thing, and you lose an opportunity, and you always, because it's hard to pass the Islam down to the next generation if you're living your life intoxicated, brothers. It's hard to be effective as a Muslim if you're intoxicated all the time. And we know the damage. Seriously, I'm telling you, the majority of the time, when I ever counsel a couple about problems that are going on, it's always drugs involved. It's rarely no drugs involved. Really. It's always drugs involved. Somebody's using. Somebody, because the shaitan, if you're using drugs, brothers, sisters, notice shaitan is in, he's inside your immediate life. He's in your house. He's in your family. He's there. He's in there. With no opposition. Because this is what he uses. Allah says he uses that. He uses intoxicants and gambling. And this affects our civilization. Half the time when brothers are incarcerated, drug use. I'm selling drugs, using drugs, drinking, trying to get money for drugs. You go to jail. Half the African-American men that are killed, well, more than half, the majority of African-American men that are murdered in the United States of America are murdered by other African-American men, and the majority of time, there's some sort of intoxicant involved. Majority of the time. I was all hired up. I don't know the name of all the new drugs. I was wetted up, or I don't know if you're supposed to say it like that, but somebody talked about something called wet. They used to call that angel dust back in the day. Embalming fluid. I was smoking embalming fluid. Like, damn, dude. That's like saying I want to die. I'm trying to embalm myself before I die. But this has an effect on the civilization. Somebody asked me, he said, hey, man, what about the brothers who are incarcerated? There's nothing for them. Nobody to help them when they come out. And that's very true. But the problem is, brothers, it's not that many men left standing. Either, okay, you're on drugs, or you're running the street, or you're gay, or you're on a down low, or you're straight abusive, or you're just a joker playing around, grown behind men, playing video games all day. What you doing? I'm playing video games. 30 years old, all day long, with no job. So it just repeats the cycle. Because then, those brothers, they still making babies. They still having sex. Cats want to still have sex. Many times the sex is not halal. They want to have sex. You're making babies. But because of your state of mind, you're unable to raise those children. So then they grow up. They don't have any guidance. For you, you're not passing anything down to them because you're busy. And then when you do get together, you're feeling guilty for the rest of the time. For the times, you know how you was getting down when it was little. So you're feeling guilty. So you overcompensate by spoiling them. It's just, this is a cycle in our community, brothers and sisters. This is a cycle. And it's something that I think it helps if we address it together. Now, if you know a brother using drugs, you don't put his name out. That doesn't help. That's not what you do. But you be upfront with him before you talk about him. If you suspect him, you don't start saying things about him in the community. And I don't want none of y'all coming to me no more telling me about what somebody's doing. Unless it's a member of my family. I have control of my family. But you go to him like a man, brother. Listen, are you using, man? Because if you are, brother, I'm here to help you. I want to help you because I love you for the sake of Allah. I want to be there for you, brother. That's my, a lot of times that's what they need. But you got to address the issue because it's going to come back on all of us. This is probably, I'm not sure if it's the number one issue in our community, but it's a big issue. It's a big issue. The majority of the family problems are surrounded with some sort of drug use. Some either alcoholism, drug dealing. It's too prevalent, brothers. I need you to understand, weed, smoking marijuana is prohibited in Islam. Smoking cocaine is prohibited in Islam. Smoking meth, using meth, shooting heroin, they're prohibited. And if this is in your life, get help. Because it will stunt your religion. It's going to stunt your Islam. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Wa li sa'ir al-muslimin min kulli dhanbin wa sawa. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you believe, اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطيع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. Brothers, you know, I'm not going to say anything more about this issue today, but we need to address drug use and drug abuse in our communities. Not to let it slide. If you know people using, talk to them. Talk to them in a loving way. You know, guard their faults, shield their sin. You don't go out, but you don't let a brother, don't talk behind his back. So that's what a lot of people do. You want to start talking about people. That's not the way to do it. You talk to the person like a man. That's another thing, brothers. You know, we need to start doing mammy stuff. One of the best things a man can do is to lead his family in righteousness. To attempt to lead. Is to teach his family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara wa qudha an-nasu wal hijara. He says, oh, you believe, save yourselves and your families from the fire, whose fuel will be men and stones. Too many of your brothers aren't married, but you're still having sex. No. Gotta stop that. Gotta stop that, brothers. You have to stop that. You have to get married. If the person you're with, if you think they're not suitable to marriage, then you leave them alone and you seek yourself a suitable wife. And you establish your family. And you teach your families. And many brothers, this is, you know, a problem with many brothers. And many times people have been Muslim and raised Muslim, born Muslim, generations of Muslim, but you don't teach your family Islam when you come to America. That's wrong. Don't teach your kids just be an engineer, be an architect. Okay, that's all well and good. Alhamdulillah, blah, blah, blah. But you have to teach your children, your family, your wife, Islam. You have to teach them what their religion is. That's how you pass religion down. So don't think that just because your son is a big engineer, make a lot of money, that he's successful. He may be successful in the dunya sense, but he may not be successful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing wrong with dunya success. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. But don't miss the opportunity to teach your wife. Excuse me, wife. I'm going to teach you a little bit about Islam. You can't, sometimes you can't teach them too long, but Try squeezing something. But you're doing your family a great disservice if you don't teach them, especially your children, the difference between right and wrong and the proper moral value system and ethics. Too many Muslim children, they're growing up in a Muslim home, but they don't know how to distinguish between right and wrong. Right and wrong moral choices. You don't want to teach your children that as long as you're making the money, as long as you get the degree, as long as you get the big house, son, that's all I want from you. Because nobody wants to see their children. You don't want to see your children, Yawm al-Qiyamah, sentenced to the hellfire. So brothers and sisters, my message of today is these two things. Stay away from intoxicants. If you have it in your life, get help. Come to the people who, somebody you trust. You come to the imam if that's what you need to do, alhamdulillah. You can go to Abdullah. He's trained in that. He trained counselor. There's a couple other brothers you can approach. And we will not divulge nothing about what you're doing. But we'll help you. I'll stay up all night with a brother, if that's what it takes, to help you get clean. But as long as brothers are still using, smoking weed, doing slick stuff, trying to be halfway thugs, this is destroying our civilization, brother. It's not just destroying you. It's destroying the civilization. Whole communities all around the country. So we have to address it. And as long as brothers, if you come to Jumu'ah, if it's good for you to come and get some information, it's good for your family. Maybe you can't bring it to Jumu'ah and it's not wajib on a woman to attend Salat al-Jumu'ah. According to the majority of the ulama, it's not. But at least go home, teach your family. Teach your kids how to give salams, how to say thank you, please, you're welcome. How to say no. Well, no, I'm not going to do that because that's against my moral principles. That's how I was taught. Teach them something. Because it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to see a Muslim raised in a Muslim family, Muslim mother and father, and you fail to teach them the fundamental things about their faith. Who capitalizes on that the most? Iblis. Shaitan. Shaitan don't care about your intentions. But I wanted a good dad. Yeah, but you don't have the Shaitan looks at it like this. But you don't have the necessary ammunition to oppose me. And that necessary ammunition starts with knowledge. Ignorance of religion is the biggest door that Iblis goes through when he wants to attack someone's faith. It's because of your ignorance. Because you don't know. If I want to go to San Francisco from right here, I know that I have to get on 80 and go west. If I get on 50 and go east, we go on San Francisco, man. That's my near. A lot of my intention. Yeah, but you won't get to San Francisco, man. So if your intention is to be a practicing Muslim, if that's what you want to do, then you have to do the things that will lead you to that. You have to learn your religion. If you want your children to be successful, because I don't care if the person is an accountant, doctor, lawyer, engineer, construction manager, no matter what they do, it'll be enhanced by iman. It's going to be enhanced by righteousness. It'll make it blessed. A lot of times people get professions and it's nothing blessed about that because Allah SWT is giving them this, giving them that, giving them that. And your son, your daughter says, look, Dad, I'm making $200,000 a year. Have a drink on me, Dad. They do things that condemn the family. Because goodness and badness is still determined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So brothers and sisters, please pay attention to what I'm saying. Let's address these issues in our community, especially this drug issue. Especially this weed issue. Cocaine. Prescription drugs. These things are killers. It's killing people, man. I can't tell you how many kids, man, we have to deal with. Children of Muslims. All ages. Who live through that. Sometimes live it through with their parents. Repeat the cycle. So many of them. So many. So brothers and sisters, address these issues, inshallah ta'ala. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات وألف بين قلوبنا واجعل في قلوبنا الإيمان والحكمة برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين ونصلي ونسلم ونبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل وإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله عظيما يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا الصلاة يرحمكم الله.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله على الصلاة على الفلاح على الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر.